So this morning, just to start things off, my name's Rian, for those who don't know, visiting with us, Ryan, according to Hurry. according to Harry this morning, I'm Ryan, but my name is actually Rian, and his name is actually Harry, and Fred, yes. Fritz is chips, and that's not who he is in Dutch, okay. But I lead the congregation here together with a group of elders, and it really is an absolute pleasure for us to have you here with us if you're visiting with us. And this morning, I'm going to speak to us a little bit, carry on from where Dan Barnard last week came and spoke to us about growing in God, about how we're actually having to mature in God. That's what God's heart is for us. And I want to start off with a scripture, and it says this. In 1 John 4, verse 17, and it's a scripture that Dan used, and he said this, and as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face Him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in the world, in this world. Such love has no fear, because perfect love expels all fear. And if we are afraid, it is a fear for punishment. And this shows that we have not fully experienced His perfect love. And so there's this encouragement for us to come to God and immerse ourselves fully into who God is, so that we can on that day stand with confidence before Him. Because we've tasted and seen, and that tasting and seeing Him has had its way in us and grew in us a love that is the same, a love that is the same that mature. And he had a beautiful picture of how perfect, or what it means in this context, is not like it's a love that has been matured. That perfect love means it's a love that has been matured. And it's God's heart for us, for you and for me, that His love matures in us. And as His love matures in us, what we see in us happening is there is an obeying. There is a following. There is a loving others. Because that's what the love of God does. Amen? That's why we've received it. It's because His love came to us. And so as much as His love came to us, now as His love finds its way in us, what happens in us is the same thing happens and it goes towards others. It doesn't stay with me. It doesn't stop with me. No, it moves towards others. The way we grow and mature in God is by obeying God and through loving others. And that's a tall order sometimes. It's a tall order to love others. It's a tall order to sometimes obey God. Amen? Will you agree with me? Okay? This is not the kind of church where we just sit and don't say anything. Okay? So in the week, we come together in smaller communities. It's what we call it, smaller groups on Wednesdays. And really, we believe as a church that community life is where we build into one another. And so for many churches, they come and the Sunday meeting today is the pinnacle of what the church is all about. And I want to say to you this morning, like maybe you have come with that same thinking, but that is not what it is for us. In some sense, we should be okay that if everything goes wrong on a Sunday morning, that the church actually goes on and doesn't even feel it. Amen? That if the music doesn't work and the things are not right and the coffee maybe this morning machine is broken and the person at the door is not greeting us, that where everything falls and the building burns off, that we don't just go, God is not to be found this morning. Because the Sunday morning is for us not the main thing. The main thing is where we come together in the week and we build and share life with one another about what God is actually doing in our lives. Because we are not a building. No, we are the body of Christ. And we've been brought together to example the love of Jesus that is coming to our hearts and changed our lives to example and to share that love to the world out there. And so when we come together on a Wednesday in communities, that's actually where the heart is of who we are as a people and as a family, as a church. And I don't know why I've kind of went on that rant there, sorry. But this morning, like as we came together in the groups in the week, we asked a question about last Sunday's service. And one of the questions that we asked, and it was kind of like the last question, because when we come together then in the groups, we want to discuss, because we don't just want to be those that hear the word, but don't actually live it. Because that's very easy. If serving God is about coming to church, hearing a preach, hey, it's like, that's not very difficult. And it's not that it needs to be difficult at all. But it's actually, we want to hear the word of God. And if we truly believe that it's the word of God, we believe that it's the truth. And if it's the truth, we want that truth, the truth of God, the word of God, to come and penetrate our hearts. Amen? Because if we don't allow it to penetrate our hearts, then it no longer in our view becomes actually the truth or the word of God. It just becomes another person giving a TED talk, really bad one. That was a joke, okay. TED is not a person, okay. It just becomes a talk. It doesn't mean anything. No, but when we come to the Word of God, we want to give the Word of God respect and bow, posture ourselves to say, this is God, the creator of all of the universe, speaking to us. And He's speaking through an imperfect person. Short Afrikaans. All of the above. And He's speaking through an imperfect person. And in that moment, we're not listening to Rian or Dan or anyone else. No, we're listening out for the voice of God. And when the voice of God comes and His word comes to us, we don't just want to receive it and not change according to it. Because then if we do that, it's almost as if we're saying, I know better than God does. But I'm in the posture where I'm always going like, and I'm just doing this on the stage so that everyone can see me, but I'm going like, Lord, when I come to your word, I'm not coming as one that knows. I'm coming as one that doesn't know. I'm coming as one that cannot do it. I'm coming as one that has tried everything and realized I come up short. Not because just I'm short, but I come up short. And so I want to hear your word so that your word can find its way in me and then grow through me, that I can mature and grow in your ways. Amen? And so when we come together on a Wednesday, it's to discuss, what is God saying? What did you hear? And not just what is God saying, what did you hear, but with what God is saying, with what you heard, did you do something about it? Because it's only in the doing something about it that we actually, for the first moment, accept it as truth and accept it as the word of God. And so therefore, we change our lives accordingly. You guys with me on that? And so we ask this question, we ask this. Are you growing, and where, or are you not growing? Why? And that question seemed to have unraveled many people. We all want to believe we're growing. But in a moment of asking it, then having to say, where am I growing? I don't know. Then maybe I'm not growing. Why? And the moment that why question comes, all the things in the back of our heads start traveling, going down the list. Maybe it's that offense. Maybe it's that anger outburst. Maybe it's that sin issue there. Maybe I watched something I wasn't supposed to be watching. Maybe I told a lie there. And then we start going. And what happens is this spiral starts spiraling and we get into that place. Maybe I'm not growing. And I know exactly why. And I don't want to acknowledge it. And this morning, I want to speak into that. See, I want to say this. If you haven't been here last week, that's okay. You're not going to miss out. Because the reality is, whether you were here last week and whether this is your first week, all of us need to hear the good news consistently. And there's a lot of good news. But the good news gives us hope to actually work with what we hear God is saying and not just allow it to sit there. And so I want to quickly read us a scripture, Ephesians 4:11. And this is my hope this morning, is that you would hear good news. Is that you would hear good news coming to you. That whether you've come to know Jesus or whether you're coming to know Jesus today, the good news is the same because it's eternal. And it today has as much effect in you as what it could have had last week when you sat here in the same place. But let today be the good news that actually finds its way in your heart and through your life. Amen. So, Ephesians 4:11. If you've been part of us, you would know this off by heart. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And usually when we speak about this, we speak about the gifts that God has given. But this morning, I want to point out to you, and you can just keep that there, verse 13. This morning, I want to point out to you that God's heart for you and me is that we would grow. When we read there, we say, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That whole statement is something that's actually saying, I was here and I was empty or young or a baby, but until we all attain the full unity, the full knowledge, the full measure, the full manhood of or maturity of manhood in Christ, God is with us. And He wants us to attain, not just be a baby, but come into full manhood. And ladies, that is for you too. Okay. We're not some gender confused people. Okay. But we are the bride of Christ and you are the sons of God. Okay. So we all have something. But the heart of God is that we would grow. That we would grow and that we would mature. And 4:11 and 4:12 is the proof that God is invested into your growth. He's invested into each and every one of us, attaining full maturity, attaining the full knowledge of Christ, attaining the full measure of what He has for us, because He's given us the gifts to accomplish these things in us. And as they unlock these things in us, verse 12 says, so that the saints can go into the works of ministry, that they can accomplish it. And it's in the gifts and in the accomplishing that we step into the maturing. So there's a doing part that needs to happen. Do you guys get me on that? Okay. Now here's the thing. The good news for us here this morning is that God is fully invested into you and me. That He wants to see you and me grow, mature, and no longer be babies. The problem is, as much as we want the good news, bad news sells. Bad news sells. Okay, what do I mean with this? You can go do this study on Google. You will find that social media, they've got like groups and groups of people that do studies. Like, if you didn't know this, but most of social media is a study. Social studies, okay? Most of it. So you might think it's there for your enjoyment. No, it's actually people are learning about you. What makes you tick? What do you like? What are you about? That's what it is. And so in these, all your different studies and platforms, what they have seen is this. The most effective way to get your attention, to keep your attention, is to make you sad and to make you angry. Go and look for it. Not now, later. Okay? But that's how they keep it. For kids, they go like, if we can make kids on social media, if we can make them sad and feel not great about them, we'll have them forever. And to adults or more mature people, if we can make them angry, we'll have all their attention. Because that's how we are. Bad news sells. And so we can hear the good news. We can hear that Jesus has made a way. We can hear that He's given us something. And we all want it. But the moment we get the good news, it's like there's this little voice that goes, yeah, but you didn't do enough, or you're not good enough for that, or you need to do more, because surely it can't just be as easy as Jesus gives His life for you. No, no, you actually have to work for it. And because our inclination is bad news, we actually leave the good news and we take hold of the bad news. Am I telling the truth here? Am I eating some things here? Is there anyone that would agree with me? You can put up your hand. Thank you. Some not. Okay. The reality is this. Is that all of us are equally, or let me say this, all of us are not good enough to stand in front of God. Romans 3:23 says this, for all have sinned, not some, not Enrico, not Harry, not Frit, not whoever, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's everyone. That's you. That's me. It's everyone. Now, the problem is most of us stop there. Why? Because bad news sells. Ah, okay. Again, Rihanna's saying, I'm a sinner. I know it, bro. I'm so aware of I am not good enough. Without looking to your Bibles, who knows what the next part of the scripture says? Let me tell you. Romans 3:23. For everyone has sinned, we all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God, in His grace, freely makes us right in His sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when He freed us from the penalty for our sin. So it's not just that we have fallen short. God never stopped there. No, because we have fallen short, He's come to give us good news. He's come to make us in right standing. He's come to redefine and change and transform the way we think, the way we live, the way we act. Because if we only had to stop at falling short of the glory of God, there would still be no hope. It's just stating the obvious. But it says, yet God came and He brought us good news. Now, God has made a way for us to get rid of our sin. To get rid of the anger, the sadness, the addictions that make us feel bad. Who here has ever gone like, I've got sin in my life and I really feel good about that? No. We hear the good news. We hear that God loves us. We hear that He's made a way for us. And in the back of our minds, we know, but I've done that. No one knows about it. This thing, I can't tell my spouse. And in those moments, we just go, I want it so badly. But I just can't take it because I'm bad. Now, this morning, I want to say to us this. The thing that I want us to see here is that sin does not make us bad. Sin makes us dead. Sin does not make us bad. Sin makes us dead. But God has come to give us what? Life. Good news. Good news. He's come to give us life. When you think of that scripture that Dan said, it says, when I have that fear, it's because of judgment. Why is there judgment? Because of sin. And we know God is going to judge sin. And so I'm fearful because I've not yet tasted that perfect love that takes away the judgment. And so I can sit in my sin and wallow and go, I so badly want the good news. Or I can realize that sin doesn't make me bad, it makes me dead. But God wants to give me life. And so let me get rid of my sin. Is there a way? Is there a way, church? And are we giving, are we using that way that has come at such a price? Are we taking our sin and saying, hey, here is my sin. And man, I don't want it. I don't want it. Or would we rather want to just go, just Mike, throw that back at me. Thank you. That's okay. Sin always makes a mess. Or are we going like, oh, it's just, I can't go without it. I say to us, God is fully invested in you and me. That we would be alive and whole in Him. And it's time that we stop looking for where's the bad news, and that we actually accept the gospel coming to us and saying, Jesus, I no longer want to be dead in my sin. I no longer want to believe that I'm bad, that I'm not good enough, because I'm not. But you have made the way. I didn't deserve it, didn't work for it, can't attain it, can't buy it, can't sell my wife or my kids to find it. They're not here, so I can make jokes like that. No, you gave it freely. You freely gave it. He didn't just give it freely to the world out there. Because we as, and I'm going to do this, Christians, we just think it's for the world out there. And we'll sit in church, read our Bible, and never truly believe that He's done it for me. Never truly hold on to it. And I believe that this morning for us, that there's a place of where we need to step out and say, no longer am I going to hold on to it. No longer am I going to sit with this. I don't want to be dead. I want to be alive in Him. Ephesians 2 verse 4. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. Sin doesn't make us bad. It makes us. It is by grace that you have been saved. I love going gymming. And it's a good time for me. It helps me clear my head and works out all the frustrations and things in my life. And in most gyms, it's synonymous that with a gym, you would find a treadmill. Okay? You agree with me? And you always have people on the treadmills. And I love going on the treadmill. Okay? I just walk, and I do this funny, weird thing where you kind of walk backwards on a treadmill, and there's usually a tanny or something that's standing behind me, and then all of a sudden, she's kind of like sweating and doing whatever steps or stairs she's doing, and then the next moment, she opens up her eyes and hears me walking backwards on the treadmill, and she's just going like, I was not ready for this. But the thing is this, is when you're on a treadmill, you can run hard, you can run fast, you can run very far. Amen? Without the fear of someone driving over you or stealing you your shoes or whatever else. It's like, dogs chasing you outside. There's no fear of that. The only fear is you might fall and everybody will see it, okay? But that's it. But you can go very far on that treadmill and had a good workout, really be tired. And the moment you stop that treadmill and you climb off the treadmill, you have exerted the amount of energy that takes it to run 10 kilometers very fast. But you've gone nowhere. You've gone nowhere. And for most of us, our Christian life feels like that. Get onto the treadmill. Coming to church. Yes. Doing community. Yes. Trying to pray for people. Yes. Paying my tithes. Yes. Reading my Bible early in the morning. Yes. Yes. And we do all these things. And like, hey, I need to forgive my brother. Yes. Like, I'm really working out. Whew. I'm at the same place where I started. See, the thing is, to grow and mature in God is not all of a sudden for us to do more, run faster on the treadmill. No, it's actually to climb off. It's actually to climb off and go, God, I surrender. I surrender. Can't do this. The sin that holds me back, the sin that keeps me there, God, I can't. I don't want it. I want to give it to you, God. Take it. It is yours. You've paid the price for that sin, for that judgment, for those thoughts, for those things that I've done, those moments of anger outbursts, those moments of feeling so insecure and depressed, like those moments where I've forgotten that you have come to give me life. God, I want to get rid of this. I'm tired of running on the treadmill and getting nowhere. I want you. I want you. And until the day that we can be honest with ourselves, and not honest by saying, ah, I'm a sinner, ah, fallen short. No, we all know that. That's not being honest with yourself. That's just stating the obvious. Being honest with yourself means I've got to admit I'm holding on to the sin in my life. I'm holding on to the things that make me dead. And I'm not taking hold of the life that God has come to give me. That is being honest with ourselves. He's not asking you to be good at it. He's not asking you even to be able to define all of it. But it's that acknowledgement that, God, I cannot do this. It's only by your grace, it's only by what you have given me that I'm able to walk into being alive. So to surrender it and give it over to him. Because then he comes and he works in us. One Thessalonians 4, verse 7 to 8 says this. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Therefore, anyone who rejects this instruction does not reject a human being, but God. The very, we've got different versions there, but it says the very God who gives you His Holy Spirit. Therefore, he who rejects this instruction does not reject man, but God, who gives His Holy Spirit. God wants you and me to live a pure and holy life. Not out of trying to conform to all the things that I think I need to do. No, but to surrender and say, God, I cannot do this. Now come and let your perfect love work in my heart, work in my life. And that is in that moment. That's the moment where I can stand before Him, not having to be afraid of the judgment that's coming. Because I know perfect love has found its way. He's taken away the judgment. No, I'm alive. I'm no longer dead. And I'm not bad. And if you think what I'm saying is giving you license to give it once and then live however you want, then you're not hearing what I'm saying. It is not doing more. I want to say it's not even about doing less. It is about surrendering to God and letting Him do what only He can do. We should to make us alive. Take away the sin and bring us into His kingdom. Can we close our eyes?